Today is May 12th. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It's great to be here with you around the global campfire. Come on in. Find a place. There's always room. And we gather here to take the next step forward like we do every day through the Bible, next day forward in life and in this year. And our next step leads us back into the book of 1 Samuel, where we have met Israel's first king. His name is Saul, and we will be spending some time now moving through the stories of Saul's life, and there are plenty of things for us to learn along the way. So let's dive in. We're reading from the New International Version this week, 1 Samuel 12 and 13. Samuel said to all Israel, "I have listened to everything you said to me and have set a king over you. Now you have a king as your leader. As for me, I am old and gray, and my sons are here with you. I have been your leader from my youth until this day. Here I stand. Testify against me in the presence of the Lord and his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? From whose hand have I accepted a bribe to make me shut my eyes? If I have done any of these things, I will make it right." "You have not cheated or oppressed us," they replied. "You have not taken anything from anyone's hand." Samuel said to them, "The Lord is witness against you, and also his anointed is witness this day that you have not found anything in my hand." "He is witness," they said. Then Samuel said to the people, "It is the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron and brought your ancestors up out of Egypt. Now then, stand here, because I am going to confront you with evidence before the Lord as to all the righteous acts performed by the Lord for you and your ancestors. After Jacob entered Egypt, they cried to the Lord for help, and the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your ancestors out of Egypt and settled them in this place. But they forgot the Lord their God, so he sold them into the hand of Sisera, the commander of the army of Hazor, and into the hands of the Philistines, and the king of Moab, who fought against them. They cried out to the Lord and said, 'We have sinned. We have forsaken the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtoreths. But now deliver us from the hands of our enemies and we will serve you.' Then the Lord sent Jerubbaal, Barak, Jephthah, and Samuel, and he delivered you from the hands of your enemies all around you, so that you lived in safety. But when you saw that Naash, king of the Ammonites, was moving against you, you said to me, 'No, we want a king to rule over us,' even though the Lord your God was your king. Now here is the king you have chosen, the one you asked for. See, the Lord has set a king over you. If you fear the Lord and serve and obey him and do not rebel against his commands, and if both you and the king who reigns over you follow the Lord your God, good. But if you do not obey the Lord, and if you rebel against his commands, his hand will be against you, as it was against your ancestors. Now then, stand still and see this great thing the Lord is about to do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest now? I will call on the Lord to send thunder and rain, and you will realize what an evil thing you did in the eyes of the Lord when you asked for a king." And Samuel called on the Lord, and that same day the Lord sent thunder and rain. So all the people stood in awe of the Lord and of Samuel. The people all said to Samuel, "Pray to the Lord your God for your servants so that we will not die. For we have added to all our other sins the evil of asking for a king." "Do not be afraid," Samuel replied. "You have done all this evil, Yet do not turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn away after useless idols. They can do you no good, nor can they rescue you because they are useless. For the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people, because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. And I will teach you the way that is good and right. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. Yet if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will perish. Saul was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned over Israel 42 years. Saul chose 3,000 men from Israel, 2,000 were with him at Michmash, and in the hill country of Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan at Gibeah and Benjamin. The rest of the men he sent back to their homes. Jonathan attacked the Philistine outpost at Geba, and the Philistines heard about it. Then Saul had the trumpet blown throughout the land and said, "Let the Hebrews hear." So all Israel heard the news. Saul has attacked the Philistine outpost, and now Israel has become obnoxious to the Philistines. And the people were summoned to join Saul at Gilgal. The Philistines assembled to fight Israel with 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and soldiers as numerous as the sand on the seashore. They went up and camped at Michmash, east of Beth Avon. When the Israelites saw that their situation was critical and that their army was hard-pressed, they hid in caves and thickets among the rocks and in pits and cisterns. Some Hebrews even crossed the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. Saul remained at Gilgal, and all the troops with him were quaking with fear. He waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and Saul's men began to scatter. So he said, "Bring me the burnt offering and the fellowship offerings." And Saul offered up the burnt offering. Just as he finished making the offering, Samuel arrived. And Saul went out to greet him. "What have you done?" asked Samuel. Saul replied, "When I saw that the men were scattering and that you did not come at the set time and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering." "You have done a foolish thing," Samuel said. "You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command." And Samuel left Gilgal and went up to Gibeah and Benjamin. And Saul counted the men who were with him. They numbered about 600. Saul and his son Jonathan and the men with them were staying in Gibeah and Benjamin, while the Philistines camped at Michmash. Raiding parties went out from the Philistine camp in three detachments. One turned toward Ophrah in the vicinity of Shual, another toward Beth Horon, and the third toward the borderland overlooking the valley of Zeboiim, facing the wilderness. Not a blacksmith could be found in the whole land of Israel, because the Philistines had said, "Otherwise the Hebrews will make swords or spears." So all Israel went down to the Philistines to have their plow points, mattocks, axes, and sickles sharpened. The price was 2/3 of a shekel for sharpening plow points and mattocks, and 1/3 of a shekel for sharpening forks and axes and for repointing goads. So on the day of the battle, not a soldier with Saul and Jonathan had a sword or spear in his hand. Only Saul and his son Jonathan had them. Now, a detachment of Philistines had gone out to the pass at Michmash. John 7, 1 through 30. After this, Jesus went around in Galilee. He did not want to go about in Judea because the Jewish leaders there were looking for a way to kill him. But when the Jewish festival of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, "Leave Galilee and go to Judea, so that your disciples there may see the works you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world." For even his own brothers did not believe in him. Therefore Jesus told them, "My time is not yet here. For you, any time will do. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that its works are evil. You go to the festival. I am not going up to this festival, because my time is not yet fully come." After he had said this, he stayed in Galilee. However, after his brothers had left for the festival, he went also, not publicly, but in secret. Now at the festival, the Jewish leaders were watching for Jesus and asking, "Where is he?" Among the crowds, there was widespread whispering about him. Some said, "He is a good man." Others replied, "No, he deceives the people." But no one would say anything publicly about him for fear of the leaders. Not until halfway through the festival did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. The Jews there were amazed and asked, "How did this man get such learning without having been taught?" Jesus answered, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me?" "You are demon-possessed," the crowd answered. "Who is trying to kill you?" Jesus said to them, "I did one miracle, and you are all amazed. Yet because Moses gave you circumcision, though actually it did not come from Moses, but from the patriarchs, you circumcise a boy on the Sabbath. Now if a boy can be circumcised on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing a man's whole body on the Sabbath? Stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly." At that point, some of the people of Jerusalem began to ask, "Isn't this the man they are trying to kill? Here he is speaking publicly, and they are not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Messiah? But we know where this man is from. When the Messiah comes, no one will know where he is from." Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out, "Yes, you know me, and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own authority, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him because I am from him, and he sent me." At this, they tried to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him, because his hour had not yet come. Psalm 108, a song, a psalm of David. My heart, O God, is steadfast. I will sing and make music with all my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awake in the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Save us and help us with your right hand, that those you love may be delivered. God has spoken from his sanctuary. In triumph, I will parcel out Shechem and measure off the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim is my helmet. Judah is my scepter. Moab is my washbasin. On Edom I toss my sandal. Over Philistia I shout in triumph. Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? Is it not you, God? You who have rejected us and no longer go out with our armies? Give us aid against the enemy, for human help is worthless. With God we will gain the victory, and he will trample down our enemies. Proverbs 15:4. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Okay, so we're getting to know Israel's first king, King Saul. And I mentioned, like, there's a bunch of stuff for us to examine in his life because it becomes a mirror into our own lives. And Saul, as the king, as a leader, has a bit of a weakness, and that is the fear of man. He is very interested in what people are thinking about him, how things are appearing, and that clouds his leadership. And that is not to say that leaders shouldn't be aware or even concerned with what people that they're leading think or feel. Like, that's important. But Saul is the king. His loyalty is supposed to be to God on behalf of the people. But he's more concerned with what the people are thinking and saying than obeying God, which is not going to work out. Like, if there's anything we've learned so far from our time in the Bible, is that following those pathways, they don't end up anywhere good. So yesterday, as Saul is anointed the king of Israel, we found that the tribe of Benjamin was called forward, then the clan, then the family, and then Saul, and Saul's hiding. In today's reading, Saul's son, Jonathan, the prince of Israel, has stirred up some trouble with the Philistines. And so there's going to be a battle. And Saul has assembled some troops and they are preparing. But Samuel had said, wait until I get there for a sacrifice. Saul waits a week, notices that some of his men are beginning to withdraw. Maybe they have a little bit of a gossip session going around. Who knows? But Saul sees that his strength seems to be diminishing as the king while they wait for the prophet Samuel. And so Saul decides to offer these sacrifices to God in front of his men to sort of hold things together. About the time that he completes the sacrifice, Samuel shows up and is wondering what in the world is going on, because God had commanded Saul to wait for Samuel. So Samuel inquires, like, what's happening? And that's where we see, in Saul's defense, that's where we see what's motivating him. So Saul says, and I quote, "When I saw that the men were scattering, and that you did not come at the set time, and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal. And I have not sought the Lord's favor, so I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering." And so Saul basically gives his recipe for disobeying God, right? I mean, he saw that the men were scattering, that Samuel didn't show up at the time he said, and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash. And those three things together, whipped up into his mind, allowed him to make a decision to disobey the Almighty God who had made him king of Israel. What is the recipe for us? What sets of circumstances would need to happen in order for us to override what we know is right and disobey God? What has to happen to trigger us to start doing things in our own strength again? Probably a lot less than an assembling army of Philistines. We are all guilty. But if we look into Saul's life, if we see what happens right here, we see that it goes nowhere good. Samuel replies to Saul, "You have done a foolish thing. You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure." And he goes on to tell him that the Lord is looking for someone pure in heart, someone after God's own heart. Someone who won't have a recipe for disobedience. And that is what's going to happen. So Saul just got anointed in yesterday's reading as the king. And in today's reading, it's all over. Now, from today's reading, we learn that Saul was 30 years old when he became the king, and he reigned for 42 years. And so what Samuel is telling Saul that is going to happen didn't happen that very day. It took some time to happen. But the idea that Saul would have a dynasty and that his son would sit in his place on the throne as king, and then his grandson, and then his great-grandson, and so on and so forth, Saul will be the only one of his family to ever be king. And so it allows us to just kind of wonder, what if Saul didn't have that weakness? What if his heart was after God and obeying God above all things? What would this story look like? Which allows us to look at our own story and wonder the same kinds of things. And those are worthy of considering. We'll get to sort of see the answer to that question. It's going to take some time, but there's going to be another king. And the next king is a very flawed, very human person, but is a man after God's own heart. So not only do we have Saul as a mirror into our own lives and the things that we fear and the things that kind of pull us in all sorts of directions, but we'll be able to contrast that with the next king. And it's going to take a little bit of time, like I said, but his name will be David. And we'll meet him soon. And we'll get to know him long before he ever becomes king. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for where we are in the scriptures. We thank you for where we are in the year. And we thank you for your love and kindness and graciousness and compassion for us as we take this journey. And Holy Spirit, as we consider even what we were just talking about today, what three things would need to happen for us to decide that the best move in our lives is to be disobedient to you and willingly do what we know is not right? That's a hard question. It's a very situational thing, but the answer should be we would never do anything. It would be the most unsafe thing to do, to openly rebel against you. And yet we've done that so many times, we wouldn't even be able to keep track. And thankfully, you're not keeping track either, or we would be utterly doomed. But you have loved us and forgiven us and restored us, and you continue to restore us, and you continue to sanctify us and set us apart. And so as we embrace that process, part of that is to reflect upon our own lives and our own motivations. What are we afraid of that would make us disobey you? Holy Spirit, we invite you into that question as we consider today. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. It's the website, and you can find out what's going on around here there. If you're using the Daily Audio Bible app, you can do the same thing. The Daily Audio Bible app can be acquired at whatever app store is connected to whatever device that you use. Just search for Daily Audio Bible, and you can download the app for free. And it's a fantastic way to engage and move through the scriptures in a year and kind of keep track of what's going on and where we are in the grand scheme of things as we take this journey through the Bible. So check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if what's happening here around the global campfire brings life and good news and hope and joy and encouragement, not to mention the voice of the scriptures into our lives every day, if that is meaningful and matters to you, then thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or there are a number of numbers that you can call, depending on where you are in the world. In the Americas, 877-942-4253 is the number to dial. If you are in the UK or Europe, 44-2036-088-078 is the number to call. And if you are in Australia or that part of the world, 613-882-0-5459 is the number to call. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, Dabber family. This is the burning bush that will not be devoured for the glory of our God and King. I'm calling to wish China, Jill, and all the Dabber family moms happy Mother's Day. I pray to God that you're having a blessed day, that you're acknowledging the blessing that God has given to you to be able to birth humans on this planet or to parent humans on this planet. So God bless you. For those who are estranged from their kids right now, I am praying for you that God will fill that gap in your heart and that God will warm the hearts of your kids towards you. I pray for healing in those relationships. For those of us who have lost our mothers and are struggling to figure out how to celebrate this day, I pray for all of you and all of us that God will continue to assure of us of his presence and that he's the parent of all the parentless. But anyway, I just want to share that to my family today. I love you guys. Love you. Love you. May God bless and keep you. Amen.
Hey, my Deb family. This is Big Shoes, Tiny Feet from Norway. I just want to thank you for the work you're doing, Harden family, also Debsy. You're doing an amazing job, and it brings me really closer to God, and it changes me every day. And also, I just want to shout out to God Smile and Cheeky Peter. You guys, you lift my spirit every time. It doesn't matter how bad of a day I'm having, you guys just cheer me up. So just thank you for calling in and being who you are. Bye.
Mother's Day is coming to a close, and I hope that all you mothers out there have had a very blessed day. And motherhood is not just biological. There have been those who have been adopted moms. Some are waiting to be moms, and some are carers for others' children. Whatever kind of a mom you are, May the Lord bless you and keep you strong as you continue to care for the children you love. Today, I'm asking for prayer for my friend and sister, God's yellow flower. She had to be taken to hospital by ambulance this afternoon, and she may have had, or in the process of having, surgery at this moment. Her daughter and son-in-law are away on a cruise, and it's her son Keith with the fourth stage cancer, and her two grandsons that are at home. She may be in hospital anywhere from 2 to 5 days. Could you please send a concert of prayer up to our Heavenly Father for her? This is a difficult moment. And, you know, she'll be concerned about Keith, and Keith will be concerned about her. But please, just pray with me for her.
Father God, thank you for this day you have given us. Thank you for the weekend. Thank you for all of the ways in which you have blessed us and all the opportunities we have had to serve. Open our eyes, Lord, to see what you are doing and how we can help. Help us to be salt and light. Help us to be your ambassadors and to be a good witness to our neighbours and our communities and our work colleagues and our family. Please be at work in their hearts and minds. Lord, we lift up the carers to you, thinking especially of our brother David and his wife Penny and son Zach. Thank you, Lord, for their love and desire to help and to care. Please be giving them what they need. Lord, please be giving guidance and wisdom on what to do. We ask you just to be at work in the whole situation. We do pray for healing, Lord, and for restoration. Please be blessing their marriage and the other caring relationships out there. Please be at work, Lord, and just giving them what they need and restoring them and guiding them. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.
Good morning. First, I'd just like to say what a blessing and a gift from God this ministry is to me, and how thankful I am to hear the Word of God being read to me in this season of life. It's just bringing greater understanding and teaching me to really listen and pay attention. So I'm so thankful, Brian, for your gift in this ministry to read the Word to us. Thank you. Praying for many of you as I hear your voices and your hearts, and believing and standing in agreement as you lift your prayer request up to us and the praises. Just so thankful I can rejoice when we hear the praises and the testimonies. This morning, as I heard the little girl calling about her brother, they had called a while back, and I just thought of the scripture, out of the mouth of babes, God has ordained praise. And so this morning, I stand with this little girl as she's asking prayer for her brother, who it sounds is a prodigal, that he would come home. And I was reminded that the Lord sees her brother and knows exactly where he's at. And so, Father, we thank you this morning that you hear the hearts of this little girl and her family. their prayers, you hear them. There's not one thing that they care about that you don't care about. And so we stand with her and her family today, believing for the return of their brother, that his heart will be totally surrendered to you, living for you, and there'll be a testimony behind his prodigal life that says you reached into the depths of his darkness and brought him back into the light. So we thank you this morning, God, for his return. In Jesus' name, amen.